Do you need a Bible? Could you go get one? Thank you. Ah, I know it's a madding crowd this morning, isn't it? Maybe it's getting harder to get up early because it's cool. You just want to stay in bed. And it's getting lighter later until, well, next week we have daylight savings time. And so that means when we wake up, there'll be a lot more light. Well, good morning. I'm glad you're all here. And as we continue our study in Proverbs chapter 14, lessons from my father, we're going to look at the life and death and the family business. And you know, I got a couple of questions for you, but I guess the best thing to do right now is pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for this morning, and we thank you for your word that it is eternal. And not only that it's eternal, that it is, it moves by your power, by the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, you open our hearts to your word to transform our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So my first question is, what defines our lives? What makes you, you? And here you are in mid-high, and you think, well, gee, I don't know. What defines you? Well, you know, on the most part, you could say, well, I belong to this family. You know, I belong to the Jones. You know, I belong to the Jones family, so that identifies you. Or you could say, well, some people, we were talking about it earlier, some people are identified by what gang they hang out or what group of people they hang out with. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a gang. It could be, you know, your clique at school, what group you hang out. What defines you? What makes you you? What makes you special and unique? You know, and I think, I believe every one of us is special and unique in our own way. God has created us that way. And at the end of the day, what is going to make you special? And so let's look at that. Proverbs 14 offers two verses that can set a course in our lives. And these two verses are a road map to godly living. It gives us our aspirations and purpose of life. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 14 together. Just split your Bible in half, and if you're in Psalms, move to the right. And let's look at verse 25 and 26 to begin with. A true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. Well, let's look at those verses right there. First of all, a true witness delivers souls. Well, who is the most truest witness of all? Yeah, Jesus Christ. He came and he gave his witness of God. He testified of what God is like. The Bible says if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. That's why it's so important to read the Gospels. And I encourage you, read the Gospels on your own and discover what Jesus is like. You know, how he behaves, how he reacts in certain situations. Because Jesus is very God in human flesh. If you want to read a good book, for me it was a transforming book. It's called The Jesus Style. You can get it in the bookstore. And it talks about what Jesus is like. And so he is the true witness. Jesus said he is the truth, the way, and the life. Not only he is a witness of what God is like, he's also a witness of how to get to God. And that way is through who? Him. Faith in him. See, some people think the only way that you can get to heaven if you live a perfect life, a good life, a righteous life. But you know what the truth of the matter is? We get to heaven based upon the righteous life of one, and that is Jesus. See, God expects us to be perfect. Are you perfect? You're not? Me too. You? Nope, me too. You? And so, but when we place our faith in Jesus, God now says, I give you the righteousness of my son Jesus. Now that's your righteousness. And so when God looks at me and he looks at you, he doesn't see that you lied a minute ago. He sees the righteousness of his son because you believe in Jesus. Yes, Christians still sin. And yes, as Christians, we have to confess our sins before the Father. Because when we sin, we mess up our relationship with God. We kind of like, I don't know. Have you ever seen those radios that have tuning dials? You twist it and it tunes in the radio station. Well, what if you're a little bit off? What is it like? That's exactly what happens when we sin. We're not completely tuned in right. And when we have sin, but when we confess our sins, it tunes it right on clear. And so that's why it's important as believers we confess our sins. And Jesus, the true witness. And the beauty is that true witness laid his life down for us. Yes, it's true that the Jews crucified him, but God knew that from the very beginning. Yes, it's true that the Romans put the nails in his hands and feet, but the reality of it all is Jesus laid his life down because we're sinful, and he wanted to pay the price, a price that we could never pay, so that we could have eternal life. What a true witness. Now, it says a true witness delivers souls. Well, we saw Jesus, the Son of God. Let's look at the believer, the child of God. Well, as believers, we believe and act upon God's words. That's what demonstrates our faith. If we, you know, James says, faith without works is dead. And what James is telling us, a true living faith is demonstrated by what we do. Now, let's say you guys believed me. And I said, you know what? There is a box of money in the volleyball court, and it's like worth $3 million. If you go dig it up, you can have it. Well, if you believed me, what would you do? You'd go dig it up. You act upon my words. So you believe God. What do? You go dig it up. You act upon his words. So we believe in God. So what do? We pray, don't we? We ask God, oh God, we need your help. Oh God, we worship you. Oh Lord, we have this relationship with God because we believe his words. We believe God's word. Oh, I'm not going to steal that. I'm not going to do that. Oh, we believe God and we sin. And what do? We confess our sins. We believe God and we know that he loves us. We believe God. We know he has a future and a hope. We act upon his words. We become a faithful witness, a true witness by the way we live. That's how we're transformed by the gospel, by the renewing of our mind. We believe God, so we want to know what his words say. Right? Because there's treasure in these hills. There's wisdom, there's treasure in God's word, and we believe it, and we want to hide it in our hearts, and it transforms our lives. Now let's look at the soul delivery business. A true witness delivers souls. Well, first of all, we're not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed of it. You know, the world will mock the gospel. You know, I had dinner with my father last night. My father's not a believer. And he mocks the gospel. And it just boggles my mind because my father, he's getting old. His health is not good. You know, and every time he's in the hospital, he fears death. And yet he mocks the gospel. Makes no sense at all. Man, that's a time to embrace the gospel. But do not be ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation, Romans tells us. The power of God. You want to see the power of God working? Share the gospel. Some people are offended by it. Oh, how can you believe that? There's so many roads to God. How can you say that? Well, it's the power of God unto salvation. It's changed my life. It's changed my family's life. It's changed the world. Also, it's not ashamed of godly living. Sometimes we're with a group at school and we're kind of ashamed because we don't do the things that they do. We're kind of embarrassed sometimes. Doesn't that feel that way sometimes? You know, you're not cussing. You're not, you know. And you go, I don't do that. No, what's the matter with you? You know, don't be ashamed of your godly living. That has power in it. Lots and lots of power in it. Because people are going to take notice. And then when the time comes, that will be a door for you to share the gospel. In the soul delivery business, love loves God's people and his kingdom. If you're a true witness, you love God's people and you love his kingdom. That's something that you work for and towards. You know, I hope all of you continue your education and it's good. But the most important thing in life is seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And you do it along the way. Whatever path God takes you, you're building his kingdom. You're building it. You know, you may be working as a busboy at a restaurant, you know, someday, and you're godly living, you're witness, and you pray for the people that you work with, you pray for the people you go to school with, pray for your teachers, pray, you know, for your classmates, especially those who are having a hard time. Making really dumb decisions, pray for those people that God will intersect their lives. Well, now let's look at the contrast to verse 25. What's the contrasting word in that verse? What makes it the opposite? A true witness delivers souls, and the contrast is what? But. A deceitful witness speaks lies. What does deceitful mean? A liar, right? A liar speaks lies, right? Doesn't that make sense? That's what deceit. There's deceit in his mouth. They speak lies. They're trying to not tell you the truth. And a deceitful witness speaks lies. Well, first of all, the devil is the father of all lies. What was his biggest lie in the recorded in human history? Go back to Genesis. Eve's there, and she's standing by the tree, and he said, you know, if you eat of this fruit, you'll live forever. And Eve goes, well, if I eat of it, I will die. If I touch it, I will die. Well, she kind of got it mixed up. And the devil goes, did God really say that? See, the devil tells lies. You know, and the crazy thing, people rather listen to a liar than somebody who's speaking the truth. Go figure, huh? And so he's a liar from the beginning. He is an instigator. He causes doubt. Have you ever doubted your faith? Doubted God? I have. That's just an attack of the devil. That's how he works. He tries to cause doubt, confusion in one's life. He's a deceiver. But we hang on to what we know is true. We hang on to God's word. The deceitful who rejects God's word, truth, ridicules the gospel. He exalts sinful living and hates the things that God loves. Have you noticed that about the world? You see it on TV. They ridicule the gospel. You see it on TV every evening. They exalt sinful living. You know, you turn it into any, from Desperate Housewives to the latest TV show, they exalt sinful living. And ultimately, they hate the things that God loves. And so, we have a true witness and a false witness, and our hope is to be a true witness, isn't it? Now, it doesn't mean we're perfect, but it does mean that we have a faith and a hope towards God. And that's what makes it true. Let's look at the second thing, our special place in the family. In the fear of the Lord, verse 26, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. Well, as children, at least in this country, what is one of the first official documents you're given? A birth certificate, right? And when my kids were born, you know, part of that birth certificate, I had to sign the paper. We gave the name of our children. They were born at this time, at this day, at this year, this time. And, you know, it was delivered by this hospital. And the father of this child is, and I wrote my name, Frank Pena. And my wife wrote her name, Karen Pena. And that's the birth certificate of our child. You have a birth certificate. And it begins with fear. In the fear of the Lord. Now, fear in the Bible has a double-edged meaning. It can mean that I'm scared. Or it can mean respect. And they go kind of go hand to hand. How many of you guys like disappointing your parents? Why? Alexis?
My sister does enough of it. It makes me feel worse than I do.
But the point is you don't like disappointing because you love your parents. You respect them enough, right? Now, and this is funny, we were at dinner last night, and my daughters go, they tell my brother, who they rarely ever see, they goes, oh, yeah, my dad scares me when he gets upset. Do you guys get scared of your parents? That fear, like, oh, no, I'm in trouble. That's a good thing, isn't it? Because what will that fear take you? Well, hopefully, it will cause you not to do stupid stuff, right? It did for me when I was in mid-high. Hey, Frank, why don't you go smoke some pot? No, thank you. My mom would kill me. The fear of my mother kept me from smoking dope on the football field at Grant Junior High. Fear, that's a good thing. Fear is a good thing. It prevents you from doing stupid stuff, right? Think about it. I like jumping out of planes without a parachute. I'm so brave and tough. Oh, splat, you know. That's not smart, is it? But if you have fear, you'd make sure that that parachute is in good working order and you jump out of that plane and you can jump out with confidence. Right? So our birth certificate begins with fear and respect of God. And hopefully our respect for God grows so strong out because we love Him so much that we don't want to disappoint Him. Right? We want to please God. And, you know, likewise to your parents. I hope you want to please your parents. And, you know, and I know there will come a time in your life where you're old enough where you can't always please your parents. You got to make your own decisions, and hopefully they'll respect you enough to allow you to make those decisions. And hopefully those decisions are godly. Good and godly decisions. And hopefully you'll respect your parents enough where if you're unsure, you'll seek their counsel, their advice. And so, our birth certificate. Also, what's unique about little babies? They hunger and thirst for milk. And did you know the Bible calls the Word of God milk? And Peter says, like newborn babes that crave milk, you ought to crave the Word of God. We ought to crave the Word of God. To drink it in. To go to Bible study. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And if you can read, that's even better. Because not only can you get it into your eyes, you can get into your mind, you can even repeat those words and hear it in your ears, but get it inside you. Hunger for God's Word. Hunger and thirst for the things of God. Hunger and thirst for the things of God. Seeking first His kingdom, praying for others, loving others in Jesus' name. Come into church and enjoy the people. I hope you have friends in church. You guys have friendships here? You know, if not, try to develop friendships because that's important. Because we're one big family, okay? We're a family together. Or if it's not in this church, but with kids who go to different churches, that they're serious about the relationship with the Lord. Because really, the church is universal. It's big. You know, one of the coolest things is I had the privilege to go to the Ukraine several years ago and to meet other believers in Ukraine and how they loved the God like I love God. And it was great fellowship. And we could barely, you know, I mean, I couldn't speak Russian, but they could speak English, and we had great fellowship together. Or we even have great fellowship with those who had to have an interpreter. And it was neat. God's church is awesome. And so also, we have our birth certificate. Notice where it says, in the fear of the Lord, there is... Read those two words. What does it say? Go ahead. In the fear of the Lord, verse 26, there is what? Somebody say it out loud. Strong confidence. Let that sink into your heart. There is strong confidence. God wants you to be confident people. And it doesn't mean that you're confident in your abilities, confident in your accomplishments, but you are confident in God. See, if you're only confident in yourself, you can only achieve to the level that you're capable of. Right? But if you're confident in God, it's limitless, right? Nothing is impossible with God, right? It's limitless. It's surprising because God often works in ways that is beyond our understanding. It's beyond what we how we think he should work. Sometimes we pray and God doesn't answer our prayers and we're disappointed and we think, God doesn't answer my prayers. I don't even know if there's a God because he never answers my prayers. And then the day will come you realize, God, you didn't answer that prayer because you were working it out a different way. You worked it out in a way that I didn't expect. A lot of times, God makes us wait so we can grow in patience. What happens if you give a kid everything he wants when he wants it, at the time he wants it? Yeah, exactly. Is that a good character? What kind of person would that person be? Selfish? Self-centered? Would that person be a whole lot of fun to be around? Not really. That's why sometimes your parents tell you no. Don't cop an attitude. You're getting old enough to be mature to say, okay. Okay, mom, dad. You know what's important? That takes faith, doesn't it? Because, you know, I'm like you guys. You know, you want something, you want it. And, you know, and I'm sure you guys aren't much different from me. It's like when you want it, you like want it now. But maturity says you have to learn to wait. Right? And so, put your confidence in God. Your strong confidence. God has blessed you guys so much, you could be very confident in that. Okay, so also, and his children, look at that, the next comma, and his children will have a place of refuge. I like that. You know what I like about that? Those words are so certain. It's like they might, it's not saying they might have a place of refuge. If they blah, blah, blah. He's saying, if you fear God, you have strong confidence and you will have a place of refuge. We have a place of refuge. We can go to that place of refuge. You know where that refuge is? It's in the quiet place in your heart, the secret place. When you go and spend time with God, you're in that refuge. The refuge is heaven, where there's no tear, no pain, nothing. Just pure, pure joy in the presence of God. And we have that refuge. We have it here on earth. Take time to spend time with the Lord. And trust yourself completely to God. Entrust yourself. No matter what the circumstances, something happens in your life, and there will be painful periods in your life, and you may already have faced it. And just remind yourself, Lord, I know you have a plan for all this. I know you have a plan. And God will work it all out for good. But it may not work it in the way that you expect, okay? Also, as I said, we have a refuge on earth. Be before his throne. Prayer. Spend your time before God. It's such a wonderful feeling when you're with the Lord. Have you ever been with God and you just like know God was there? That, I don't know, how does it feel? Can you describe? To me, it's just warmth, joy, peace. Just a pure, It's a true high. Spend time with the Lord. And when we're with God, we gain His perspective. There is nothing impossible with God. Nothing. So, in conclusion, we are witnesses of God's truth. That's what makes us special. That's what gives you purpose in life. We belong to God. I love, the Song of Solomon, and there's a phrase in there that goes, I am my beloved's and he is mine. That's the way it is with you with God. You could say, I am God's beloved and he is mine. God loves me. I mean, that's a marveling thought to think that God loves us. Because I think about myself and my sinful thoughts and my sinful attitudes, and here God and is so pure and holy, yet he still loves me. And he loves you. And he loves you and you. That's an awesome deal. And that's not going to change. And so dwell upon those things. And so when we live for God, we show we have strong confidence in God, and it gives us a confidence. We need to live in that confidence. So, I want to give you three things before we go. First, spend time in truth. Spend time in God's Word. That's how it transforms you. Spend time. You know, read the Gospels. No hurry to finish it in a week. Read if you can, read a chapter a day. If you can, read a paragraph a day. But when you read it, don't just say, well, I read it. Yep, done. Think about the words. Think about what was said. That's called meditating. Think about those things. Talk to the text. Well, Lord, what does this mean? God, what are you trying to tell me here? What can you teach me? The second thing is rejoice. What's something to rejoice about? Alexis? It's the Lord. What's something to rejoice about? What's that? Yeah, but what about the things that we talked about this morning? Something that should just make your face light up. Let me get this. Hello? I'm in class. What's something that we talked about that's just like, yeah? What's your name again? Stefan. What's something that just... God is your refuge. Yeah. You have confidence in God. Yeah. I'm going to heaven. Yeah. God loves me. Yeah. Those are things. Think about those things. Rejoice in. Rejoice in the family that God has given you. We should be so thankful people. We have so many things to thank God for. And finally, the third thing is allow God to be your strong confidence. Allow Him to be your strong confidence. That God is able, that God loves you, that God has a place for you in heaven. He is your confidence. Think about those three things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Man, we're so grateful that you are our refuge, Lord, and that in you there is strong confidence. Lord, I pray that you continue to build that up in our hearts, in those truths, that we could be a people who rejoice in you because you rejoice in us. You rejoice in us, Father. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. Let these truths become reality in our lives, fleshed out in our daily living. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.